You're listening to Swimming World Radio at the 2011 NISCA Clinic in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Let's join Bob Steele in his first talk.
Okay. Our afternoon speaker today is Bob Steele, who I've always thought was pretty good with all sorts of games, gimmicks, challenges, and all that fun stuff. Bob lives in British Columbia. His team's at Bakersfield in California, five national championships, Division II NC2As, and he's had 10 top 20 finishes in Division I. He is a master at many things, but he's mostly funny and very innovative, and I'm real glad he can be here for us. Would you welcome Bob Steele?
Thanks, Dana. These are the things that are my favorites in a 52-year career of coaching. Not as many years as Hanula, but then there isn't anybody that's coached that many years. So I'm trying to catch up to him. Anyway, these are my favorite games and gimmicks. We're going to try to give you about 45 things in 60 minutes. So be ready to write. And you might have to put an arrow on the left margin and write some stuff on the other side, since we're going to fly here. I compiled a list of or a collection of over 600 ideas from over 500 coaches, and a lot of these things are in the book, and you can leaf through the book and check it out. So, favorite games. Why? Favorite games are motivating. They test your creativity. They can be simple. The simpler they are, the better. They challenge kids. They distract them from pain. And they engage them in whatever you're doing so they become totally involved in your program. They foster attendance, and they're fun to do. In organizing the games that you create, you have to create it. How many of you have gone to practice not knowing what you're going to do, and you just throw some stuff together and it works like a charm? Anybody? Everybody's had that. You walk out of there saying, damn, am I good. So you have to create it. You have to name it. Don't have an activity without a name. You always have winners and losers. That's part of life. You're a winner and a loser, or a loser. You have to simply and quickly create teams. It can be by time or height or color of eyes, boys versus girls. If you're not sure, have them line up according to height and count off, and you've probably got even teams. So height works in creating teams. Have rewards at some point, and expect quiet. Kids need to know that they listen with their eyes. Now, that's completely foreign to today's young people. If they're not talking when you're talking, they're not happy. So expect quiet and teach them that they listen with their eyes. There always has to be an outcome for whatever you create. And don't be afraid to use redos, because redos is how they learn. So these are favorite games. Now, some of these might be challenges, or some of them might be gimmicks, but I've tried to categorize them. And the first collection are games. First is Rock Band or Racehorse. Okay, on the left side we got racehorses, on the right side we have rock bands, and the book has about 100 of each. So you're swimmers, you're 10 years old, and you're on the starting end of the pool, and you're going to race to that end of the pool. So when you get to that end, I'll say the name of a rock band or a racehorse. Then I'll say rock band, and if you think it's a rock band, all you do is raise your hand. Boys, you don't shout it out. And then I'll say racehorse, and if you think it's a racehorse, you raise your hand. Then I tell you what it is, and you go the next 25 on the next 5 or 0. So you're all down here. Ready? Go. You finish your 25. Left lane cruising. Rock band. Racehorse. Oh, come on, you must be Americans. You don't vote. Come on, you got to vote now, okay? Just pretend. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Okay, left lane cruising, rock band. Racehorse. It's a rock band. Okay, then you're going to go leave on an X zero, back to this end. Okay, coal kitchen, rock band. Racehorse. It's a rock band. See? And kids have so much fun with this. They'll start going, damn. That's a seven-year-old's, you know. So, rock band or racehorse. And in this case, we're going 1225s, and the send-off is rock band or racehorse. Sounds stupid, but it works. Trivia. Here we're going 1050s on 115. You pick a category, and you walk down the end of the pool pointing to kids during the rest. They always stay on the send-off. But you pick a category. Little kids love breakfast cereals. They know hundreds of breakfast cereals. Girls like clothing stores. Guys like TV shows, songs, or cars. College guys like body parts. So whenever you point to them as you go down the line on their rest, they've got to say one. So they've got a 50 to think about what they're going to say. Okay? So you swam a 50, and I go down the line. We'll do clothing stores. Macy's. You're out of it.
The Gap.
The Gap.
Donaldson's. Kohl's.
Arnold's.
Banana Republic.
Okay, and then they go on the next 115, and then they keep going. And then I'd start, when they came back, I'd start with Dana, and I'd take off where they left off. So that's trivia. Crazy strokes. You say you've got the kids lined up. You're going 25s maybe. Maybe four kids on a team. So the first one does fly pull with a breaststroke kick. So you're running back and forth yelling out what they're going to do. Second one might do a backstroke pull and a fly kick. Third one might do a freestyle pull and a fly kick. And the last one, whoever is last on the relay always does corkscrew. Sometimes you go right into a corkscrew relay. So it's whatever distance you want to go with whatever number of kids you've got. Ding-a-ling IMs. You pull out the phone book, and the kids have to say the name of a business in town. And you look at the last four digits of their phone number, and that's what they do on a set of 50s or IM swims, whatever. So here we got in the phone book 452-7913. So they'd go 7 fly, 9 back, 1 breast, 3 free. They'll go home and try to memorize the phone book. They'll always go to pizza places because their numbers, phone numbers always have 000 in them. Okay. Next, relay rundowns. How many of you do 25s at some point in practice for some speed work? Okay. You have a slow swimmer next to a fast swimmer in the same lane. You say go twice. On the first go, the slow swimmer takes off. On the second go, the fast swimmer takes off. And whoever gets to the 25 first wins. Now, sometimes it's for a nickel. Sometimes it's for push-ups. Sometimes it's for sit-ups. They keep track of how many wins they have. And they're going as hard as they can. And you sell this by saying, at some point in a season, you might have a lead on someone else and you have to hold them off. Or you might have, they might have a lead on you and you've got to pass them. So relay rundowns. Next, we got the Firecracker 400 on July 4th. That's putting the team in two groups. Maybe guys, one group, girls, the other group. However you set it up, and they alternate on 400s. So they're going to add their times up on 400 fly, 400 back, 400 breast, 400 free, 400 IM. And then you handicap it, and they get to subtract on every swim how many seconds they're behind the best 400 IM-er on your team. So if you got someone that's 4 minute 400, 400 IM, 4 minutes, and I'm not very good, I'm 420, I get to subtract 20 seconds from every one of my 400s. And then the winner gets an apple pie. At the end of practice, have under the national time standard, just to reinforce in their mind what the time standards are, because some kids are clueless. So we'd go, in this case, maybe a 200. And or the first one, I forgot, I got a pointer here. The first one is 5 seconds at the 25, so that's a 100. 10 seconds at the 25, or 200s, 10 at the 50. Or 5 seconds, then 10, then 15 at each of the 50s, or each of the 25s for a 100. Or 15, 10, 5 at 25s or 50s. So they're doing a broken swim at the end of practice when they're tired, and they'll find that they can go really fast even though they're tired. No breath, brains out. We saw a lot of guys swim without breathing today. This is a 100 for time at the end of practice with no breath. The only time they can breathe is if they're hanging on the wall. They can stay on the wall as long as they want to, but it adds to their time. So this is no breath, brains out. The record is a kid that swam in lane 2 today, Shane, whatever, from Cal. As a sophomore in high school, he went 53 seconds for 100 with no breath. I've had a guy go 100 long course with no breath at all. No breath on the turn. So that's something that you really develop. And of course, you have to be a good lifeguard too if you're gonna have kids do that. Usually they'll take a breath, and it'll take a couple of trials before they know when they should take their breath, whether they don't breathe at the 25, but they take a longer breath at the 50 or whatever it is. But they can swim 100 without a breath. Then the next one is gaiters. Gaiters is where they swim 425s on 30 seconds fast. And they can breathe as much as they want when they're swimming, but they can't breathe when they're resting. So when they're resting, the only thing out of the water is their goggles, so they look like an alligator. So those are called gaiters. So 425s fast on a 30-second send-off. Then everybody knows how to do the t-shirt relays. The kids help the swimmer with the t-shirt switch the shirt to another swimmer. And there's a technique to it. The best technique I've seen is one swimmer standing in the water like this and the other swimmer bending over, and they just take it off the swimmer that's in the water and slide it right over the swimmer that's on the deck, and they take off. One thing about swimmers is first thing they'll do in order to win a relay is figure out how to cheat. So you have to watch that. Next one's a call-it relay. In a call-it relay, the team that's in the lead gets to call the next stroke. But you can't repeat the stroke of the swimmer coming in. It has to be a different stroke. So in this case, the swimmer in lane 6 is first, so that next swimmer out in lane 6 would call the next stroke. Swimmers on the other teams have to do whatever's called. They just have to call it as loud as they can. Then a variation of this is hold and go. The lead team in lane 6 would call the stroke, but nobody can go until the last place swimmer comes in. So you end up doing a lot of fast 25s with whatever stroke they're forced to do. Demolition derby. Here we've got a 25-yard pool, and because it's shallow on half of the pool, we start at mid-pool. And the idea is for these Come on, where are we here? Won't stay on. These swimmers here to get to the opposite corner, out and seated. Anything goes in the middle. This is something that's good on old suit day. This from Peter Dalen. I got this in about 1970. But you start out with freestyle and go to breaststroke, go to butterfly, and then the last one's backstroke. And they all chicken out on backstroke. They're always turning over on their stomach. So this is demolition derby. Pigeon, this is great for little kids. The only thing that I did wrong was I should have had them go, jump in and go around the lane line this way, so the arrow should be down here. You can do it either way. So when I coached in Wichita, I coached a bunch of 10-year-olds that nobody else could control. And I think they only came to practice to play pigeon. You tell a story, and any time you say pigeon, and you use a lot of P's in your story to try to fool them, they have to jump in, go around the lane line, back to the side, and then press themselves out. For some 10-year-olds nowadays, that's a full-time job, just getting out. So they'll play pigeon, and then whoever the last one out is, they have to sit down. So you're always eliminating whoever's last, and you also eliminate any that jumps in on a word other than pigeon. So you use a lot of letter P words. Kickboard relay, you all know how to do that. Four boards on each end of a lane. The first one kicks down and gives his board to swimmer two, so they've got two. That swimmer kicks down and gives two boards to three, so that person's got three, takes three back to four. So the last person ends up with eight boards. We've done it with 12 boards, and it's pretty funny. They have a lot of fun with kickboard relay. Rock, paper, scissors. There are two ways to play this, short course and long course. Short course is up on top, and I've put right here pull buoys about 8 feet apart along the side of the pool. You have swimmers on each end, and the objective is for the red dot team to get to this end or the X team to get to that end. So the first two swimmers come out and they do rock, paper, scissors. The winner advances to the next pull buoy. The loser swims back and another comes out from the losing team. And they do rock, paper, scissors against the winner. And the winner might advance to the next pull buoy. So they'll just advance a pull buoy. If you do it long course, the idea is to come to the middle and do rock, paper, scissors, and the winner sprints to the other end. So let's say the green X won, the red dot's going to go back because they lost. The green X is going to sprint to this end, and this kid's got to jump in and sprint out to stop him. So long course, it's a little different than using it in a short course pool. Rock, paper, scissors is a game kids love to play. Dealer's choice is just writing a workout, not putting any numbers in, and having them roll dice for the number. And if they get through the set and others are still going because they're rolling nothing but sixes, they start back up the ladder until you're ready to go on to something else. But it's a very science-based training program. Roll the dice and decide what you do. This is a backwards practice. Figure that one out. What's the first thing? Okay, so the kids come to practice and you say, goodbye, see you later. And they leave and you say, welcome, how are you doing today? So the whole thing is backwards, and kids get a kick out of that. What's this right here?
Drill 400.
Okay, so you caught on. It's really tough. This is a guy that coached in Minnesota, was my assistant in the 60s in Illinois. And he came into practice one day and he said, Bob, I got something for the end of warm-up. It's called a bucket of blood. And it's kick at 25, leave your kickboard. Pull at 25, leave your pull buoy. Swim at 25, and pick up the kickboard and start over. So three lengths is one bucket of blood. This is by a guy named Gary Gray. And I asked him why he chose that name, because it doesn't seem to fit with swimming at all. And he says, because it's a B.O.B. Oh well, every coach needs a workout named after them. Okay, some favorite gimmicks. Now, gimmicks are little tricks that seem to help swimmers. First one is one from Eddie Reese, imitations. How many of you have kids on a team that have identifying strokes? Weird, strange, different, crazy strokes. So one at a time, they get at the end of the pool, and they swim a stroke imitating somebody on the team with an unusual stroke. And everybody has to guess who it is. And it's a waker-upper for some of those people that are uncoachable. So imitations. Overs and unders. It's a good way to teach streamlining. You have 9 swimmers in a lane. 3 under the pennants, 3 between the pennants and the wall, and 3 on the wall. So you got 3, 3, and 3. And you're going to say go 3 times. Every time you say go, they take off, and the first 3 jam the pace. It's a warm down. How many have had kids cheat on warm downs? Anybody? They won't cheat this way. Okay, so you got 9 in a lane, and you say go, go, go. And all 9 are going down one lane. One lane. You've got 5-foot lanes, it's crowded. Okay? When they get to the end, they have to flip and go underneath the 6 coming in behind them, or flip and go under the 3 behind them, or flip and they got nobody behind them. But you force them to stay down and streamline out with fly kicks. They get back down to the other end, and the leaders have to sink to the bottom and stand on the bottom, and if you got a shallow pool, have them slide into another lane. And they have to stay underwater until a 6 turn over them, and then they jump in the back end. So you have then new leaders. It's called overs and unders. And it's a good way to make sure everybody does a warm down. You can do 2, 2, and 2. You can go 2, 2, 2, 2. You can go 3, 3, 3, whatever it is. Bill Rose at Mission Viejo uses this to warm down at every practice. It's a good way to force warm downs. Last swimmer swimming. The kids walk in and they write their name on a whiteboard. And you give them a training set, or you give them things that you want them to think about, or maybe you're just doing drills. And anytime they make a mistake in the practice, you erase their name. And you see who the last swimmer swimming is. They'll try really hard to do what you've asked them to do so that their name stays on the whiteboard. In freestyle, we're trying to get rotation in every stroke. Breaststroke, butterfly, backstroke, freestyle. So I got this from John Leonard at Olympic trials in 08. Put a red dot on the kid's forearm. And they don't move their hand. They don't move their elbow until their hand is, their elbow is rotated and their hand is under the dot. So they think in terms of fingertips to the wrist, wrist to the elbow, then come underneath. Now, tomorrow we're going to do Olympians underwater. I'm going to show you 2008 Olympians in ultra slow motion on dartfish. And we'll talk about what to look for. We'll look for those things. Then we'll do a couple of drills that foster the developing those skills. And the high elbow dot is one that you'll see. You'll see some Olympians going like this. Second place in the fly. Drops her elbows badly. Anyway, here's the salmon run. This is the best reel to use for the salmon run. Use a catfish rod or an ocean rod and try to get a lever drag reel. This is about $60 at Bass Pro Shops or Cabela's. But you can crank in, once you set this drag, you can crank in a high school age kid. And we started a team. We got 17 little kids on a team in Garden Bay, BC, where I live. We just started it, and on Fridays, or on Thursdays, at the end of practice, they get to do a salmon run. Or if we're doing stations, we might have six stations. Salmon run would be one of the stations. So you get a catfish rod, you get a lever drag reel, and you'll have more fun than the kids. It's really fun when you're going long course and they're 160 feet away. You know, it's only 163 feet 8 inches or whatever. They're 160 feet away and you just start cranking them in and they get so pissed off. So that's the salmon run. Now, how many of you have to recruit swimmers for your high school team? Okay, here's the way you recruit girls. You make a really neat poster. You can go online and get pictures of whomever you want. You can put anything up there. And what I would do is tape these up in the commode throughout the high school. So wherever a girl's going to sit for 2 or 3 minutes, she's staring at your recruiting poster. And then for the guys, I do this. And we tape them up above every urinal in the school. So the guy's standing there taking a leak for minute and a half, and he's reading your recruiting poster. I just put $70 million out here, but that might be an incentive for some guy to join your team. This is called Aussie analysis, and it's a good way to work on stroke rate and reducing the number of strokes and pulse count as the season progresses. Australians do this long course. They're going to swim their lifetime best 100 plus 15 seconds for free or backstroke. If they swim breaststroke and they're a good enough breaststroker to do the send-off, have them swim breaststroke with 20 seconds. So if they're a 105 breaststroker, they'd hold 125 all the way through. On the first one, let's say you got a 50-second freestyler. On the first one, their time should be 105. Their pulse should be about 150. And strokes, I have them count entries per 25 rather than full strokes, because kids get confused trying to count half strokes and all that. And it's just them giving you their number of entries per 25. And actually, there should be vertical lines down this thing, but I couldn't get the computer to do it for me. So I said, the hell with it. You can just visualize vertical lines. So you'd write down the name. The 50-second freestyler's got to hold 105s. So then you would collect this information and he'd go 105, 210, 315, 420, and then try to go 49 seconds on this one. But you're still collecting that information all the way through it. And if you got some help with assistants or student managers or whatever, you can get this done. Once they learn how to do it, it's a great tool. Then when they come back to it, they don't try to go faster, they try to swim the same time that they did the first time you did it. And you see what improvements have occurred in pulse count and strokes or entries. It's a good thing to do early in the season and maybe do once a month. Turning tubes. Here's an inch and a half PVC. They hold the sides and they go 25s with six turns around the tube and six kicks in between. And what they learn to do is have fast feet over the tube. And little kids that are usually lost have this as a point of reference, and they're able to get around this. My wife used to use milk jugs, and she'd have them do the same thing, but this works better than my wife's milk jugs. Anyway, turning tubes. It's a cheap and easy way. And I've got these things over on the table. You can come and take a picture of them with your phone, or you can buy a book, and all the dimensions and everything are in the book. Or if you got a big budget, I'll make them for you. Yardstick time trials. We do this every Saturday in the fall. Saturday after the football game, we'd come in and they'd swim a 100. And anybody whose goal time was 50 seconds would swim their 100. They'd warm up just like a meet. They'd get up and they'd swim their 100, and I'd blow a whistle at 50 seconds, and they had to stop and see what cone they got to. The cones are a yard apart. So we'd do that, and they'd try to get further and further as the fall season went on their 100 time trials, yardstick time trials. Then I'd take all the 51s, then the 102 or 52s, and so on. Clickers. Now you can make this for about, I don't know, a buck, buck and a half, maybe a little more, or you can buy them for 40. The kids step into these, pull them up to their waist, and on backstroke, they should hear it click. On their back for freestyle, they should hear it click. So you're ensuring a good pivot or roll. There's a 5/16 nut in here instead of a ball bearing. Ball bearing moves too easily. They gotta work a little harder to get the nut to roll. And in Bakersfield, all the guys had these. We do whole workouts with these on. They're really quite good to work on shoulder roll. Pardon?
You went through about 35 slides.
Really? Oh, I'm at the end. I'm at the end. Okay. Thank you. Okay, paddle tubing. I don't have the paddle in here, but they're out in the vendor area if you want to see one. Draw a pattern on the deck with a piece of chalk that you want kids to follow. And they just use Hans paddles. Have you ever heard of those? Hans black paddles. And on a piece of tubing, 8 feet long, and they just follow whatever pattern you want them to do. So if they're working on breaststroke, they just swim breaststroke, and you can walk along and manipulate them so they're doing it the way you want it done. Or you make a fly pattern, and they're doing butterfly. I think this is the best thing you can do for a power building program. And then you can have little kids stand on a red line, medium kids on a yellow line, older kids on a black line, and they've got varying resistance based on their age and ability. Paddle tubing. You can go to hanspaddles.com and buy the paddles, or you can have me make them for you. Tempo trainer. Have you all seen tempo trainers? Okay, beep, beep, beep. It improves distance per stroke, regulates turnover, reinforces the pace. You can set this on 12 and a half, put it in a kid's cap. He goes on the beep, it beeps at mid-pool, it beeps on the turn, it beeps at mid-pool, it beeps on the finish, and he's holding 30-second 50s. Or you can have him go 200s and hold 30 seconds 50s, but he's got to have beep, 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 beep per 50. I like to use this and set it at 1.3, especially with young kids that are learning to swim. Set it at 1.3, and they're doing an entry every beep. So at 1.3, it's beep, 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 beep. And they're counting their entries on the odd swims. On the even swims, they're doing three entries. So it's a left-hand entry every beep. So instead of being beep, 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 and doing 16 entries, it's beep, 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 and then all of a sudden they're at 19. And you're trying to get them to think about evening those numbers out so they're getting a good turnover but a longer distance per stroke. Noodle starts, you can use noodles to have kids start over. And I'd never let kids, once they're past age 8, start from the gutter. Their hands are never in the gutter. They're on the blocks where they belong, and just teach them to do it right. Relay exchanges. Take two stopwatches and start them simultaneously, and then have one person with one watch, and they hit the split when the hand touches the wall. The other person hits the split when the feet leave the block, and then you can figure out how long the exchange took. And you never reset the watches, you just use split hands. One splits the touch, the other splits the feet leaving the block, and you can work on good exchanges and kids knowing whether their exchanges were good. Just figure the difference. Then you can videotape the exchanges, show them to the swimmers at normal speed, and let them guess whether it's good or bad, and then show it to them in slow motion. Clock reading skills. It's next to streamlining, it's a thing that kids are really bad at. The last 6 years for USA Swimming, I visited 120 teams. 20 teams a year for 6 years. I worked with those teams for 4 days. And the thing that those teams were worst at were clock reading skills and streamlining. And those are things that we can change. So kids need to know how to figure an average time. The way I coached. My coaching was not ascending, descending, negative slit. My coaching was straight set. Straight set times are important. When the first swim and the last swim are really hard. And that's just what I like. So we taught them how to figure their average time to the tenth of a second. And they just do cumulative times as they're doing the swims, take the number of seconds they're over their goal time that they wanted to achieve, and then divide it by the number of swims, and add it or subtract it from the goal that they were trying to achieve, and they come up with an average time. And then, in this case, the very last line there says the average was 1.2 under 102. They wanted average 102, but they averaged 1 minute 0.8. So then you double that to predict a 200, which is another whole exercise that we won't get into. But relating training times to goal times really helps them know what they need to do in practice. The other thing is they're bad on send-offs. If they leave early, they cheat on others. If they leave late, they cheat on themselves. A swimmer that goes like this And Ducks Underwater is already 3 feet back from everybody else. And all they did was raise up. I've seen it so many times. And then the other thing is, whoever's at the end of the circle yells out 4 or 9. And the people ahead of them that are leaving on 0 duck under on 9. And the people that are leaving on 5 duck under on 4. And you as a coach, to teach them how to use the clock, all you got to do is say 9 and 4. And 9 and 4. And the kids know when they're supposed to duck under. And everybody in a wave's feet should leave the wall together. If they're leaving at different times, they're cheating. They cheat themselves or they cheat on teammates. And then the next thing is lane adequate. Never plug up a lane by standing on the target. As soon as you hit the wall, move to the left, and if you need to, up the lane so that everybody can get in. And then when the last swimmer's in, you just swing back and you're ready to go again. Okay, favorite challenges. Broken relays. I would do this at the end of every practice for a couple of weeks maybe, just to make kids realize how fast they can be and to get them excited about the possibility of being on Auburn's 115 relay or whatever you want them to go, 121 or 125, whatever it is. You take one team at a time and you take the slowest team you can assemble, and then the other teams get faster as you go through this exercise. But you start your watch on the first swimmer and you stop it when their feet hit the wall. We'll say a 200 free relay. Stop it when their feet hit the wall. They get 10 seconds rest off the clock, or you've got a manager or a teammate telling them when to go. So if they come in on, if their feet hit on 6, they're leaving on 6. So the team manager just says, leave on 6. So they duck under on 5, they push off on 6. When they get to the exchange end, you use the split and they do an exchange with the second swimmer. When the second swimmer's at the 25, you stop the watch. When the second swimmer comes back, you get the split. And all of a sudden, they're going 21 seconds for 50s at the end of practice and getting juiced up about relays. And then all of a sudden, there's a relay early in this series that's faster than your good guys that are standing there watching. So there are other people that realize they can swim on the relays too. Reese's Pieces. You buy 4 bags of Reese's Pieces. And you go 4 100s with 10 seconds rest at the 25s. So they're doing a broken 100. And A4 means that they're in 4 groups. 2 groups on each end. And they're helping tell people when their 10 seconds is up. So you come in on 6, duck under on 5. And they'll go 4 100s broken. And the only ones that count are the ones under their lifetime best. So they could keep going and do 10 if they don't really swim hard enough. And then Reese's Pieces goes to the swimmer in each stroke that has the biggest time drop in their average on the 4 100s or whatever you create. But that's pieces of a 100. And I named it after Eddie Reed. Every coach needs to have something named after themselves.
Anyway, thanks for your attention and inviting me to be here.